disgusting. Let's pray, and then we'll look at our lesson for this morning. Father, your presence is here. That's enough. What more could we want? We trust you with our lives. Lead us on. Through Christ that we pray. Amen. I was reminded a few weeks ago, and I know these are a few years back, but I'm just kind of reminded. You remember the God billboards that kind of hit different parts of the country? And throughout the country, you'd see different billboards like this. Don't make me come down there. Sign God. How about, we need to talk. God. Another billboard that some people would see was, well, you asked for a sign, God. But the one that really kind of stood out to me that I focused on was this one. That love the neighbor thing, I meant that. God. So how are you doing with loving your neighbor? I just want to ask you, is there somebody in your life right now that you are having trouble loving? You have somebody at the office, in your neighborhood, maybe even at home, that you're having trouble with this love your neighbor thing? Because the truth be told, we all experience some type of conflict in our lives. There's probably someone we'd all like to beat with a frozen fish. Who do you find disgusting? Do you have a coworker that just uses that type of language that just disgusts you? Is there someone that has wronged you, someone who has done something against you that really just kind of inflames your emotions inside, and you just find them disgusting, and you just have a hard time even thinking about them without all these emotional thoughts coming to mind? Is there someone in your life right now that you hate? If you have someone like that, go ahead and raise your... No, don't do that. Not in church. You can't raise your hand and say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but there's someone I hate, can we? Well, let's be real. There are times that there are people who come across in our lives that are extremely challenging. Let me share with you a story this morning of someone who was extremely, extremely challenging. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there, Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Now, Jericho is a border city. It's right on the edge of the land of Palestine. It's close to the Jordan River, and you pass out of Palestine. And being a border city, that means that there were a custom station there. The Jericho Valley is also an extremely fertile valley, which made this area, particularly this city, quite wealthy. In fact, it was one of the wealthiest cities in Palestine. Herod had built a palace there in the Jericho area. And so we're talking about a wealthy city to collect taxes in. And Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. A chief tax collector was one who was contracted. And his contract dealt with sales and custom tax, and he would hire contractors under him to actually collect the taxes. And so just the position itself would make him very wealthy without cheating. But yet, as you get further in the story, it implies that he also did some cheating. Now, tax collectors in Israel were the, or at least in the top three, positions of hatred by the Jews. They were considered traitors. They were the people that when you talked about worst of sinners, that's the same thing as saying tax collector. And they used those terms interchangeably. And so when we talk about somebody who was disgusting in the eyes of the Jews, when we talk about someone who was hated by the Jews, it would have been a tax collector, particularly a man like Zacchaeus. So that particular person in your life, what exactly is it that you hate about them? Or what is it that disgusts you about them? Is it their language? Is it something that they do? Is it the way they dress? Is it something that they wear? Is it their tats on their body? What is it about that person that just riles up inside of you that feeling of disgust for that person? The Bible says he wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. I just want you to guess, because that's all it is. Who would have believed that a man like Zacchaeus was a man who was seeking Jesus? My guess is everybody around him, the Jewish population, probably even his friends, this might have been something that was quite a surprise. This type of man, this disgusting person, he is seeking Jesus? That's shocking. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. He breaks two cultural laws here of Middle Eastern first century custom. He ran and he climbs a tree. But the Bible just said he was a short man. Now, first century Mediterranean men weren't that tall anyway. And so scholars believe that he was probably under 5 feet tall if he was short among short people. And so basically what we have here is we have Danny DeVito climbing up a tree. And he's up there and he's trying to just simply get a glimpse of who this Jesus is. I want to say it again. He wanted to see Jesus. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Now, I underlined a couple of words in that verse, and the first one I want us to look at is the word spot. When he came to that spot, the Greek word, the original language of the New Testament, the word there is actually what it means is the place that was expected. It was a designated place. When Jesus came to that designated place, when he came to that place that he expected, he looked up. In the Greek, it's like it's saying when Jesus came to the place that he had been looking for. In other words, so far in our story, we've seen that Zacchaeus is looking for Jesus, when in fact, the reality is Jesus is looking for Zacchaeus. That person that came to your mind earlier when I talked about the person that you have conflict with, that you find disgusting. Can you even imagine in your mind that Jesus is looking for them? Is it possible that Jesus even has a plan, that there's a particular spot, there's a particular place, there's a particular time that God is trying to weave together so that this man catches a glimpse of Jesus. And would it be possible that that glimpse of Jesus comes through you? Jesus looked up in the tree and he said, I must stay at your house today. He doesn't say, I want to. He doesn't say, I'd like to. Jesus looked up into the tree to find the man that the world thought was disgusting. And he said, I must. Nobody else wanted to, but Jesus, I must come to your house. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Once Zacchaeus receives this glimpse of Jesus and who he really is, his life begins to change. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. You remember that muttering? We've talked about muttering before, haven't we? That Greek word is only found two times in the New Testament. The Greek word is diagoguzo. And there's really no other reason for me to tell you what exactly the Greek word was other than it's just kind of fun to say. Diagoguzo. It's only found twice. This is one. The other time, Luke chapter 15, when they muttered at Jesus saying, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. The context of our series on the church's brother. See, the crowd is in disgust. They are disgusted at Zacchaeus, and now they're disgusted at Jesus for what he's doing with Zacchaeus. I'd like to read this verse out of the Message. It says, everyone who saw the incident was indignant and grumped. What business do we have getting cozy with this crook? But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. If I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount. Do you see Zacchaeus changing before your very eyes? Do you see the crowd? Do you see the natural reaction not accepting? Because there's a comfort level in that disgust. Do you see the dialogue of Jesus? Do you see the teaching of Jesus? Do you see his dissertation on what repentance is and how to change your life and what God offers? No. What you see is Jesus offering an invitation to the disgusting man. And not only does he offer the invitation, Jesus says, I must do this. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Today, salvation has come to your house. Salvation. The word Jesus comes from Yeshua, which means salvation. Today, Jesus has come into your house. Our last series looked at this house and welcoming people into the house. And now Jesus is entering into the house. Salvation has come here because Jesus is here. While the world, while we are looking at disgust at this person, Jesus targeted him. He was looking for that spot when the heart of Zacchaeus and the invitation of Jesus came together. And I don't even know all those spots, but through prayer, God can use us even for that disgusting person in your life. We never said it was easy to open up our arms like God does, but that is our calling. Philip Morrison tells a story back during the time of the Civil War. A soldier went off to battle. His parents grieved his going, but the soldier wrote every day to his parents and just told them what was going on and how he was doing. When the mail system started, they began to receive these letters, and maybe not every day, but they may get two or three on a particular day, but on a regular basis, these letters came into the parents until one day the letters stopped. The parents feared the worst. And about a month later, they received a letter from the United States government informing them that their son had, in fact, had been killed in battle. A month after the war ended, these parents were sitting and eating breakfast, and the maid comes running in and saying that there's a man at the door, and he's the dirtiest, filthiest, smelliest man that she'd ever seen, and so she wouldn't let him in, but he had this note that he wanted me to give to you. And the father took this dirty, crumpled up note, and as he unfolded it, he recognized the handwriting of his son. And this is what it said. "Mom and Dad, I've been shot, and I only have a short time to live. And so I'm writing this as my last farewell note. As I write this, there kneeling beside me is my most intimate friend in the company. And when the war is over, he will bring you this note. When he does, be kind to him for Charlie's sake. It was signed, your loving son, Charlie." Do you need to guess how the parents received that man? In spite of his smell, in spite of the dirt, for what he had done for his son. Jesus is calling you and I, for Jesus' sake, will you love the younger brothers? Look at the last verse that Jesus summarizes what just took place here. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Would you all say that with me? Let's look at this last verse, verse 10. Say it with me. Here we go. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Again, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." One more time. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Now let's go do it. If that was the purpose, if that was the calling of Jesus, as we follow Him, that's our purpose. That's our calling. As we close this lesson, perhaps the disgusting person that we've had you think about, maybe that's yourself. Maybe that's how you view yourself. The good news is, Jesus came to give you a new view. This may be how the world even looks at you. It may be how you look at yourself. But Jesus has aligned things. And you know what? Right now may be that exact spot in your life that Jesus has been talking to you. "I must come home with you. When you leave this building, I must go with you. Will you take him? There is forgiveness for even disgusting people. And there's forgiveness for people who have the wrong attitude of looking at disgust on others. Whether you're the oppressed or the oppressor, God's arms are open if you'll simply come home. And so if we can help you to take those initial steps in giving your life to Jesus Christ, we want to do that right now. If we can pray for you, if we can help you in your journey, in your walk with God, we want to do that right now. Some of the elders are going to come up and join me at the